Are amazing. You come up here and there are four people somewhere in the room and you start worshiping like there are 400. And that's the whole point. It's got nothing to do with how many people are in the room. It's got everything to do with who we're worshiping. And you pour your hearts out to him. And there's love that. I love the extravagance with which you release your worship and you release your exaltation of Jesus Christ. Isn't that absolutely brilliant? That you guys come here. Now, sometimes I come here and you guys are worshiping in the rehearsal, in the warm-up. And I come in and I just, oh, God, look at these guys. I'm so blessed by you. And I just feel we're so privileged to have people like you around us just to share this journey with. You're absolutely amazing. Thank you so much. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Father, thank you. Lord, I thank you so much for what today and for this moment signifies, for the glory that's at work in our hearts. Lord, I thank you. Thank you so much, Jesus. I ask, glorious Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you will impart to us now the spirit of wisdom and revelation of who you are and what you have done for us, so that we will come to know you better. I also pray for our hearts to be filled with light, so that we will see ourselves and know in our experience the hope to which you have called us, the purpose you want to see fulfilled in our lives. And what is this hope? That we, along with all your saints, those who belong to you, will enjoy the riches of a glorious inheritance, that we may also know your power working in us because we believe in you. A power so great that it cannot be compared with any other power. We have an example of this power, of exactly how mighty it is. It is the resurrection of Christ. Yes, the power that raised him from the dead and caused him to be seated in heaven at his Father's right hand is that same power which is within us right now. Let that power be at work, Holy Ghost. Let our hearts be turned upside down. Let our lives not remain the same, Lord. Shape us, fashion us, make us who you want us to be, what you want us to be, what you'd set us apart for. You'd called us in not for mediocrity. You called us into your kingdom because you had a purpose. And when you came to take up residence in us, Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, we are certainly not our ordinary people now. We are created to have great influence upon this earth. We are created for a significant impact through the simple fact that we live here. Lord, I ask you to overwhelm us tonight with the revelation of how amazing that is. To be so set apart for you. To have the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Right now, in our lives. Right now, in our hearts. That same power, whether we feel it or not, that is truth. That power is at work in us at this precise moment. We are not impotent, empty people sitting here with nothing better to do with ourselves tonight. We are raised up to be saints. We are raised up to be mighty warriors for the living God. We are raised up to be those who will shift things on this earth. We will be those who would tear down and raise up, because we speak on behalf of Jesus Christ, because the living God is on the inside of us. Let nobody leave this place believing that they are created to be ordinary. Let nobody leave this place believing that they are what the world defines us as being. But I ask you tonight to redefine our hearts and our lives and show us how you see us. Declare over us your ownership. Make us your army in this land. Amen. Shift us from mediocrity in our thinking. Take away from us a sense of just getting through to the end. And put in us the heart of an Olympic runner. We will run our course with great determination, to get the crown of glory at the end for Jesus, that he will receive his full reward. For he's the author and the finisher. He started this, and he will finish it. And the finishing has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with him. All he says is, run your race with perseverance. Don't give up. Keep running. Keep going. Because there's something worth running for. In your lifetime, you will see things that many people will not even believe were possible. But you will see them if you believe they're yours to be seen. You will declare the glories of Jesus. You will see the power of the Holy Spirit be mightily at work in people's lives who one moment before were scoffing and did not believe, and the next are falling on their faces before him saying, he truly is Lord. The one who said to the disciples, let down your nets for a catch, is the one who put the fish there. That same God fulfills every promise that he has made to us. Jesus says, what I ask you to do is not down to your ability to do it. All you have to do is believe and go forward, and I will put the fish in the net, or whatever it is I call you to do. Mediocre people don't turn worlds upside down. Mediocre people don't change anything. They just live and hope that they'll get through to the end without too much disruption. But the Lord calls us tonight to become the most disruptive people the city has known. People who will truly change the status quo just because we choose to follow Jesus. Because we choose to be focused on what's on the inside of us and not on ourselves. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Acts, Jesus tells his disciples not to leave Jerusalem, and you know the scripture, and he says in Acts chapter 1, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, and it's a gift. And you know, the Lord said to me tonight, many of us have got gifts, and we've never even taken the wrapping off. They're still perfectly wrapped. Ribbons in place. Beautiful paper. Your gifts that have been given to you are for you to open and see the inside of that gift and use the gift that has been given to you and me. That gift has been handpicked for you by God. He knows exactly what gift he has planned to give you. He selected you. Before you were even formed in your mother's womb, he knew which gift was yours. And he sorted that gift out. And he has delivered that gift to you and I. And he says, all you have to do is be willing to unwrap it. If you're willing to open the package and pick up what he's given you, it will be a gift that will be used to accomplish great things in your lifetime. But sadly, many gifts remain unopened. People get to the end of their lives with a pile of neatly looked after gifts that never got opened. Opening gifts is a risky business. How do you know it's what you want? How do you know what you might have to do with that gift when you unwrap it and you have a look at it? How would you know? How would you even begin to understand? But tonight I believe God is speaking one word to us. Open. Open them. And all he's saying is, some of us are sitting there and we've got a pile of gifts and we're saying, but I'm really not worthy of any gifts. I shouldn't be given gifts because I can't be loved. I don't know what it is to be loved. I don't know what it is to be appreciated. I don't know what it is. So those gifts stay there because they couldn't belong to me. Nobody would give me gifts. tonight the Lord Jesus is going to change our paradigm and our perspective and our understanding of what it means to be a son of God. Not a performer for God. I get this picture sometimes of where, you know what an organ grinder is? I don't think you get them around much anymore. And they usually had a monkey that ran around with a little cup and collected money. And sometimes we're like the organ grinder's monkey and we think that's all we can do is got a chain between our leg and the pole of the organ holding a little cup out and that's all we can have is what the little cup can take. And if the organ grinder plays fast, we will dance fast. And if he plays a slow one, we'll dance slow. We have no mind, we have no options, and we have a little cup. And tonight God says, I want you to put down your little cup. Because you've been living under a deception that that is all you're worth. But tonight we will understand what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. So when he tells his disciples in Acts chapter 1, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. They had no idea what it's going to look like. He didn't tell them. But there's a gift coming. And you know, he said, you'll have power when my Spirit comes on you and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and to the ends of the earth, etc. And Father says that same word over you tonight. I give you my gifts to become a witness for my kingdom. To change the lives of many people. I have given you the gifts to change people's lives. You don't have to try and change them yourself. And miraculously, what they did was wonderful because they obeyed him. Now, you might think that's spectacularly boring, but if you read back in the Gospels, you understand how often they did exactly what they like and didn't do what he said. And so what they did at that point, they went back to the upper room in Jerusalem after he'd risen up into heaven, and they stayed there for 10 days praying constantly. Now, I suppose they did sleep and eat and go to the loo, but they prayed. And what happened in that time is God got hold of their hearts. And God got began to change them. And God began to give them hope that they'd never had before. And eventually they began to say, we believe we are ready for this gift. We believe that we're the ones. But you know, it took time for them to get there. But eventually what happened is, 10 days passed, and suddenly there was the sound of a mighty wind blowing in the room, and they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire coming to rest on each one of their heads. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Can you imagine the scene? This huge sound of violent wind. It didn't say a violent wind blew, just said the sound of a wind blew. And these tongues of fire came to rest on them, and these guys just... they realized the gift had come. And they ran out into the street. They had to, because 3,000 people we know got saved, or men, so there could have been more than that with women and children. And how uniquely God picked the day for to do that on, because it was during the Feast of Pentecost, which has nothing to do with what happened there. All that happened was that it happened to be the occasion that would draw many people to Jerusalem, so that the Lord could affect their lives. And so what happened is these people come running because they hear the sound, and they I have no idea what they see, but for some to think they might have been drunk gives you some idea of what it might have looked like. But they didn't look too ordinary in what they were doing. And what began to happen is they began to speak in other tongues. And these people said, that's strange. These are Galileans. We could hear them speaking our language. How do they know our language? And this is amazing. This is unusual. And then Peter, who up to now had never shown great oratory skill or brilliance, gets up. And he addresses this thousands of people. It says, in my version I'm reading, he says he shouted to the people. And he said to them, what you're seeing here is the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy, 2:28. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, etc. What you're seeing now is the fulfillment of that prophecy. And what's happening right now in this place is people are hearing in their own language, not because we know it, but because the Spirit is doing it. He then tells them about them, Jesus, the Messiah, who they crucified but who rose again. And in the end, the guys say, brothers, what must we do? They were cut to the heart. Why? Because he was a great speech? No. Because the gift is working. And the gift moved their hearts. And they said, we got to get changed. Something's got to happen. We're so cut to the heart. What's going to happen? And he says, repent and be baptized. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit too. You know, I think that's absolutely wonderful. Come on in and get a gift right away. And really, that's as simple as it is. When somebody gets saved, it's to get a gift. Not only of eternal life, which is brilliant and every good reason for doing this, but to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Well, let's have a look and see a little bit of what that might mean. Jesus said, in John chapter 14, verse 14 through 18, if you love me, obey my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, counselor, comforter. The Greek word used is paraclete, one who comes alongside, who will never leave you. I want you to do something for me right now. Can you give yourself a hug? You know how to do that? Put your arms around yourself. Maybe you think this is crazy, but it doesn't matter. And just say, Holy Spirit, thank you. Right now you're inside me. And I welcome you in this place. And I want you to know that I value and honor you tonight. In my life. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus says, he's the Holy Spirit, and he will lead you into all the truth. So you want to know what truth is? The Holy Spirit's waiting to give you understanding of the truth right now. He has come to reveal truth to you. You and I don't have to bumble around wondering what it is. He is the revealer of truth. It says the world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him, and it doesn't recognize him, but you know him because he lives with you and will be now and will later. He's going to be in you. No, says Jesus, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Just say with me, I'm not an orphan. I am a son of the living God. My Father will never abandon me. He has filled me with his Spirit to show how much he loves me. Hallelujah. So this Spirit is going to reveal truth to us. In John chapter 15, Jesus says, he will reveal truth. He will guide you into all the truth. He will remind you of everything that he has taught. In John chapter 16, Jesus says, when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment that is to happen. You and I don't have to do it. You know, some of the saddest things that happen in the body of Christ today is that people use guilt as a sort of basic tool to get people to do things. And, you know, it doesn't really change anybody's life. It just teaches you to kind of duck while you're being watched. And whenever it looks away, you can do what you like anyway. But when we understand God's conviction, that is different. Now, who is this Holy Spirit? Well, we understand one thing. Romans tells us in chapter 8 that he will help us to pray. He says he will give us words and utterances which words can't express. And the Spirit who knows what is given us to pray will understand what we're praying and will move us to pray, and then we'll carry out what we've prayed. I mean, what an incredible thing that you and I don't have to, we don't even have to work out what to say. He knows how to do that. Do you know, I sincerely believe that there shouldn't be a believer in Jesus Christ who doesn't pray in tongues for at least 20 minutes a day. And that's not a guilt-invoking thing. I just believe that it's the most ignored part of what we've been given. It's the gift. And so many times we say, yeah, well, I am full of the Spirit. I prayed in tongues. Yeah, about 2 weeks ago, I said something in tongues once. And, you know, you might think this is unusual, but sadly, it's really common in the body of Christ that people don't speak in tongues and people don't use any of the spiritual gifts particularly. It's almost as if we've come to feel that they're outdated, outmoded, and not for us. And so we just keep this neat pile of gifts here. And we say, Jesus, when I get back to you one day, I'm going to bring you all those gifts and say, here you are, Lord. I looked after them. I didn't unwrap any of them because I didn't really deserve them. So I'm giving them back to you tonight. And I hope that you'll be happy that I took care of them so well for you. But I want you to understand something. Those spiritual gifts were given for you to transform the world. They were given for you to change the world that you live in. You were never meant to be changed to conform to the world. You were always meant to change this world that we live in. So the spiritual gift that's been given to you and to me, to one, they might be given the ability to give wise advice or wise counsel. To another, they might be, by the same Spirit, the ability to give a message or a special word of knowledge to somebody, which will turn their lives around and cause them to be utterly amazed that God knows about their lives. Has that ever happened to you that somebody's come up to you and said, the Lord has just told me the following about you, and he wants to encourage you in the midst of that? And it's startling. It's actually frightening to realize that somebody can know something about you. But that's the work of the Spirit. It's what he does. There's a gift of great faith. You know, the guy that started this ministry called Kingdom Faith, Pastor Colin Urquhart, he's an amazing guy. Truly is a man of faith. And years ago, a very long time ago, God told him to start a Bible school to train people for the ministry of the kingdom. And the Lord said, I want you to buy that building there. And it was a disused school, boarding school, which was standing there called Roffey Place. And he didn't have any money to buy it with. But God said, buy the building. So this is a very long time ago. So he went and he negotiated to buy the building. And finally, the day came that he would put down not only the deposit, but also the means to pay for the building. And he was about a week away from that date when he was in Singapore ministering at a conference. And a man came to him out of the blue and said, you know, I'm a very wealthy man and you've never ever asked me for any money. And Pastor Colin said, I don't ask anybody for any money. And he said, I want to give you a gift. And he gave him a check for $1 million, Singaporean dollars, which was exactly the asking price of the building when translated back into British sterling. He arrived back on the day that the money was due to be paid over and paid the check over and bought the building. His life has been characterized by that simply because he has chosen to believe that if God said it, God does it. And what Nathan spoke out during the worship, he simply said, Lord, you've said you want to send a youth revival to us. We don't know how that's going to happen, but we're going to get ready for it. We're going to prepare for a youth revival. How awesome is it going to be to see a revival amongst the young people of this city? How awesome is it going to be when we will see young people not cavorting around because they're full of the of alcohol, but they'll be drunk on the Holy Spirit and they will be alive for the glory of Jesus and their lives will be transformed and changed and they will be walking through the nations and the nations of Europe and they will be proclaiming this kingdom. This is the part that you are the forerunner of. The person who has been set apart for God, by God, to bring about this change in your lifetime. And that's one heck of an incredible privilege to be called to do that. And so we want to see the power to perform extraordinary miracles. We want to prophesy. We want to see the gifts to discern between which message is of God and which is of the other spirit. We want the ability to speak in unknown languages, and we want the ability to interpret what is being said to you tonight. Jesus never said you have to earn these gifts. He never said, if you obey me and you do exactly what I say, I'll give you one of my gifts. The gift is given not because you earn it, but because he chose to give it. He said, if you obey me, you will remain in my love. But the gift is given without you and me earning it. The gift comes simply by saying, Jesus, I accept you as my Savior. And I accept you tonight as being the one that will transform my life. And that's where it starts, when that gift comes your way. I want to tell you about a scenario. Think about the fishermen. They'd been out all night on the Lake of Galilee fishing, and they'd caught nothing. And they come towards the shore, and there's a man they've never met before called Jesus Christ. And he says, brothers, let down your net for a catch. And they look at him and they're saying, Peter says, you know, we've been toiling all night. We've been out all night fishing and we've caught nothing. But because you ask us, we'll do it. And he lets down the net and they catch the biggest catch they ever caught. So many times we get to the point where we say, but we've been toiling a long time and we haven't seen, so we're not going to let down the net for anything that you're offering us. We're going to let that go by because we've toiled a long time and we're tired. So we're just going to inform you tonight that we really don't want what you've got for us. But tonight, he asks, will you dare to trust him? Will you dare to let down the net for a catch? Will you dare to believe that there's a catch waiting for us, waiting for you? There's a reason why you are here. You may have toiled through many, many long years, but what he wants to bring us to is the place where we say, I don't understand why, but because you said it, Lord, I'm going to keep going just because you said so and for no other reason. Even if you don't give me what I expect, I will not stop doing it. Because I choose to be a man or woman with a heart that chooses to trust you, and not a man who chooses to become indifferent to who you are. But I ask you tonight, Holy Spirit, forgive us if we have in any way said no. We can't do this. It's too much to ask. We don't have this in our heart tonight. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive our little faith. And come and increase our faith tonight. Come and increase our ability to say yes. We don't want to ignore you anymore, Holy Spirit. We don't want to ignore you, Jesus. We don't want to say no to you because we can't see how you're going to do this. But we want to be those who obey. And so we ask you to take whatever we have and use it, Jesus. Use it for your glories. Please, Lord. Father, thank you that you have called each one of us in this room. Father, thank you for the awesomeness of that call. Thank you for the greatness. Thank you that you see not our capability, you see your capability when you look at our lives. And you see what just one willing person can do if we're prepared to say, Lord, where do I let down the net? What do you want me to do? How do I let it down? But Lord, I want to do what you want to do. And we ask tonight, Lord, take whatever we've got left in us and change us and make us those who are willing to say yes, willing to do whatever it is you want us to do. But we ask tonight, Lord God, that you will do something which could only be done because of your Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And come and transform our hearts and our lives. And make us those who say yes. Make us those who are willing, Jesus. Because truly, Lord, the time is urgent and we want you to work in us like never before. We praise you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you so much, Lord. I think sometimes, guys, that we have turned the Holy Spirit into a bit of a clown. And we've said that it's only the people who are prepared to kind of do the crazy things or the people who are the Holy Spirit people. And some of us are too afraid to even open our hearts to the Holy Spirit because we're scared that that might mean we're going to be doing something stupid or we'll become less of the Word. But if Jesus said when he comes, he will fill you with these gifts, he will release this in you, can we not trust Jesus? You know, I don't for one moment believe, and I don't believe that in the history of the church as I've read it, before the 90s, we never had a lot of the stuff that goes on today. And you certainly don't read about it in the book of Acts. You don't read about it in Paul's epistles. It doesn't only mean you've got to be swirly to be a Holy Spirit person. It means you can be a man of the Word, but you've got to be a man of the Spirit as well. And it doesn't mean if you're a man of the Spirit or woman of the Spirit that you ought to give up being a man or woman of the Word. Because it's both. It's the Word and the Spirit working together in your life that is God, that will accomplish what God wants. And I want to see something end in our lives where we create the distinction. We say we're either Holy Spirit people or we Word people. But we need to be both. We need to be Word people and we need to be Holy Spirit people. And if we are prepared to just step towards the Holy Spirit and say, I've been trying to control you and tell you what you can and can't do in my life. But I'm choosing to say to you tonight, do whatever you want to do because you are God. But I would say to the swirly guys as well, open the book and read more than a selective passage and read the whole thing and allow the Word to shape our lives, both of us, under the guidance and the authority of the Holy Spirit. But if we don't do that, we're going to end up being one thing or another thing, but never the complete thing that Jesus has planned for his body to be. And the longer we keep this distinction going, the longer we're going to be saying we're going to never fulfill our potential and never fulfill what we're called to do because we're too busy defending our patch and saying this is how it should look. But actually, God wants it to look like he wants it to look. He wants to change our paradigm, change our mind, shift us completely away and say, I want you to be like I want you to be. It's not swirly, it's not Word, it's both. It's Word and Spirit working together. It's the power of the Word under the anointing of the Holy Spirit that will change this city and this nation. And if we're prepared to allow that to happen, if we're prepared to say, it's okay to trust the Holy Spirit. And if we're prepared to say, Holy Spirit, give me a love for this Word. I've got to learn. I've got to understand this Word. I want it to feed my life. Then I'll be a man of the Word and Spirit or woman, and I will begin to fulfill the purpose that God has for me. And I want to cry out tonight because so many of us have come from all kinds of backgrounds and they've defined what we are. But we've got to say, God, who do you define? How do you define me? What do you say I am? What does it look like to be a man or a woman of God? What does it be? What do you want me to be on this earth? If I'm to fulfill those things that you said I will fulfill in my lifetime, what do I need to be? And that's why this prayer that Dot used last Friday is so awesome. I ask the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ that he may impart to me the spirit of wisdom and revelation of who he is and what he has done for me so that I will come to know him better. That I will understand the hope to which he has called me. That I will understand the glory of his purposes. That I will live with a much higher expectation than I live at the moment. That I will see the possibility of healing the sick, of raising the dead, of cleansing the lepers, of driving out demons. That I will see it as a possibility. It's not one or the other. It's not just, oh, he's the deliverance man and he's the Holy Ghost man. It's all of us doing all the Holy Spirit's work because he has selected us for this purpose in this time that we live. And we have to take hold of that with both hands and say, Lord, I need all of you. I need all of you. I need you, Holy Spirit, to take control of my life. But I need to be a man or woman of the Word. And I need to understand that all this requires is the faith that you ask me to have in what you've said and walk forward without stopping and seeing what you want to do in my lifetime. And that's truly what I want to do, Jesus. And I don't care. I don't care whether you came from an Anglican background, a Catholic background, or a Pentecostal background. It matters only that you come from a Jesus background. It matters only that you and I are men and women of the Word and the Spirit. Because this nation is waiting for us. The whole of creation stands on tiptoes just waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. And we are the ones. And we're so busy deciding whether we will trust the Holy Spirit or we'll get in the Word or we'll believe Jesus. You are amazing people. There's not one ordinary person in this room. I'm in the company of extraordinary people. And all I'm trying to do is shock you enough, hopefully not bore you, but shock you into saying, oh, there's some reason why I'm drawing breath. There's some reason why God has called me. There's something He wants me to do with my life that is going to be more than just lengthening of the odd leg. And He wants me to do miracles. He wants me to grow people's legs who haven't got them. He wants me to raise up the lepers and the sick and all the rest of it. That's what you're saved for. I'll never forget watching a DVD of Heidi Baker in a leaders' conference in Los Angeles. And for those of you who don't know who she is, she's this amazing woman in Mozambique who has been there for 15 years and has transformed lives. They planted more than, is it 10,000 churches? She feeds more than 100,000 people every day. She has turned churches in the north of Mozambique that used to be mosques are now churches, and the imams are now the pastors of the churches. That's where Islam reversed. And she, the last count, they'd raised more than 100 people from the dead as a ministry. I kind of think we should give her a little bit of our attention. And she went to this conference in Los Angeles, this room full of leaders. And she stood at the front of the room and she said, the Lord says, less of this and more of this. And she stood and she did that for 20 minutes. And some of the leaders were going, boom, I'm a great leader of many churches. I haven't come to hear this rubbish. And they got up and walked out. And eventually a third of the room left. And she kept doing that for 40 minutes. The Lord says, less of this, more of this. They come to hear the strategy for planting multiple churches. They wanted to hear strategy. And she said, the Lord says, less of this and more of this. And eventually, after all the ones who were offended walked out, the Spirit of God came upon the meeting in the most extraordinary way, and people's lives were transformed. Do you know that sometimes we get offended by God because He's going to do the very thing that we hoped He wouldn't do? But I believe that if we can stop trying to put the brakes on and say, God, you can only come this far, no further. God, you can do what you like as long as it doesn't involve that, then that, that, that there. I don't do, but I'll do this bit here. What about putting all the initiative in His hands and saying, God, I'll do whatever you say. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. I choose. I give up my choices and I choose you. And you can have whatever you want. You can take whatever you want of my life and make my life work for you. Do you know, guys, I don't want to go through meeting after meeting after meeting and nothing different happens. I don't want to do that. Because it's you know, I'm getting old. And, you know, I might run out of time eventually if I keep doing this. I want to make the exciting part now. This is when the launch is meant to come. This is when it's meant to get amazing. This is when we're meant to see what Nathan was prophesying and declaring, the young people being saved in this city. Whether it's Friday night, whether it's in a pop-up church, whether it's in a pub, well, I don't mind where it is. In fact, the less like a church it is, the better. The more like Holy Spirit controlled environment, the better. The more the Word is proclaimed under the power of the Spirit, the better. Let's go and do something different. Because we can. There's no reason why we can't. Why should we not? Why should we just stay here? Why should we not go and turn this world upside down as much as we can? Under the power of the Holy Spirit, greatly. How awesome if we were to suddenly get ourselves a shop in Brick Lane and open a church there on a Sunday morning, pop-up church. And 3 weeks, 4 weeks later, it pops up in Notting Hill Gate. And another one pops up in Putney. And another one pops up in here in central London. Just like pop-up churches open and shut. We open and shut wherever the people are. And we go there with a hunger. And we say, Jesus, where do I put the net down today? Where's the net go down this week? And we send a text around the church. Church is meeting here today. And the people come to where the church is. And we get out of our mind that we need sitting rows with a band in the front and some bloke speaking to you here. And we get in the mindset which just says, we meet with Jesus because we belong to him. Amen. And we don't need half the things we think we need. Church can actually be really simple, you know. The Chinese revival ran on, I once saw a guy with an old beaten up bugle and nobody had anything else. And the glory of God. They didn't even have Bibles. And the power of God was all over this meeting. And people were weeping in the presence of God and praying their hearts out. And they had nothing. We put so much hope in all the things. It's nice to have them, but it's not really that important. Wouldn't it be glorious if Hannah contacted me and says, you know, 3 musicians and I want to go and do a pop-up church in, I don't know, somewhere else in Chelsea or somewhere. You know, there's a building there. We can get it for £60 today. And I just want to put the message out that a few of us going there to do a pop-up church. And suddenly there's pop-up church happening there. And people in that area get to discover Jesus Christ and how amazing he is and how great his plan is for their life. And they get brought along. And then we go and open another one. So you go from being somebody who listens to me to somebody who I come to listen to. And the only thing that defines you is what the Holy Spirit says you are. What the Word of God has told you you are. Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't it be amazing to do something so radically different? Oh, but we want to have a proper church with proper pews and seats and all the rest. Oh, hallelujah. Wouldn't it be amazing if we instead saw people saved? Wouldn't it be amazing if we instead saw homeless people brought in and fed, or we saw the hungry being fed? I mean, I've been chucked a jacket in the car tonight. I said, Lord, take me to a homeless man. There's a man who needs this jacket. I want to give it to him. But if we change our thinking and we say, Lord, where's the net go down today? Where do I throw the net today? Where are you going to put the fish in my net today? What does it do to your life if you have to care for 5, 6, 10 people who came to the Lord and you're the one that they're putting their hope in to show them what it means to follow Jesus? How hungry would you and I be for the word to find it and be sure we've got something to give these guys? Hey, church could be so exciting. You know, there were 23 people in this church that said, we're in with you. What could 23 people do? They could change a city. If we say we're the committed, we're in, then what could we do if we're in? What could God do with your life if you dared to unwrap your present and believe you deserve it? What could you do with what he's put in that gift for you? How awesome to put a crown on your head and turn to everybody through your life who has disqualified you and say, this is the truth. I'm a son of God. Look, I wear the crown. It's a little one. He's got a big one, but I got a crown. Wouldn't it be awesome? That God's plan for you. This youth revival will not happen when somebody suddenly starts streaming in the door. It'll start happening when we start going to where they are and show them Jesus Christ and what he looks like. Wherever he is. And I hear on Brick Lane, they're really busy on a Sunday morning. People come out of clubs. They're really keen to go somewhere where they can get a cup of coffee. How amazing if we did that. How amazing if you just started a coffee bar somewhere, pop-up or otherwise. How amazing if it became a place that where people came to release their gifting and proclaim the truth of God over people's lives. How amazing would that be in your lifetime? How amazing. What have we got to lose? One Friday night meeting, what do you got to lose? Not a heck of a lot. But what have you got to gain? So much. You are the people of the Holy Ghost, the people of the Word that the world is sitting waiting for right now. Let's dare to open our presence tonight. Let's dare. Dare to reach out and pick up that present and that gift from the Lord. Say, Lord, what have you given me? What has been handpicked for me? Oh, it might not be the one you wanted. It might be that you want to be a prophet and instead you're going to be a great speaker in tongues or interpreter of tongues. Doesn't matter. What have you got the gift for? It's not for us. It's for the good of the body. It's for the body to be built up. So let's go and do it. Father, let Pentecost be a time we remember that something shifted in our lives. A paradigm shift happened here where we just become a little bit more than people who listen to it, but we actually become people who do it. Lord, I ask you to shift in my heart and take me out of the mindset of just doing the same thing all the time and hoping for a different result. Lord, I ask you to shift us into a new gear. Lord, make us a people who are on mobile, people that are on the move. I've said a whole lot of ideas, Lord, but they're not your ideas necessarily, but I want your ideas. And we want to stop restricting you, Holy Spirit, and saying what you can or can't do. We want to ask you to come and take control of our hearts for the glory of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I ask you tonight, I ask you to make us the most fruitful people we could ever have been. Lord, I ask you for every gift that you have purposed to begin to be released right now in every life in this room. I ask for every gift, Holy Spirit, that you have purposed, that you decide who gets which. I ask you to release them to us tonight. I ask you to bring about a change and a shift in our whole mindset about what it means to be a gifted son of the daughter of the living God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, this simple meal just is here to remind us of what Jesus has done for us. And so as we break this bread, we thank you. Thank you that this reminds us that Jesus Christ had his body broken for the forgiveness of our sin. Thank you, Jesus, for this cup of grape juice, which reminds us that the blood of Jesus has been shed and paid the price and set us free from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord, that way back when you were going to the cross, you looked through centuries and you saw our lives at this time, and you were dying for us. You were dying that we would be empowered with your Holy Spirit to fulfill what you'd saved our lives for. In Jesus' name.